Psalms 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people exalt you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. May the Lord add his blessings to these words.
Thanks, Linda, for reading our scripture for us this morning. So last week, Kim and I attended a Zoom Christmas party with some of our high school friends. We typically do this party in person every year, but like everything else in 2020, this was a little different. So we did this particular Christmas party on Zoom. And one of the elements of this Zoom Friends Christmas party was there were a couple of trivia games. My buddy Brad put together two different trivia games for us to play together. One of them was an Elf trivia game based on the Christmas movie Elf. And the other one was a Finish That Lyric Christmas game based on lyrics to popular Christmas songs. So essentially, he would give us the first couple lines of a song, and then when it was your turn, you would have to come up with the next line or phrase from that song. So we started us off pretty easy. The first couple rounds were some layups, but then gradually the songs got harder, the lyrics got more obscure, and I do not mind admitting to you here this morning that Kimberly and I did terribly in this game. We were awful. We came in last place out of all of our friends. And here's why this happened. If the song lyric that came to us was like a Christmas carol, if it was a traditional hymn, if it was a song based on the biblical Christmas story, we nailed it. We got every single one of those questions right. However, this game did not consist solely of Christian Christmas songs. There were also some like pop culture Christmas songs that were in there. And if the lyric that we got was some kind of pop culture song, we had no clue. All right, so Mariah Carey, I'm sorry, we did not know your song. Cedric the Christmas Donkey, or whatever that song is, we did not get that one right. Josh Groban in Polar Express, no offense, we did not know your song. If it was a pop culture song, we had no idea. Now, we made up for it in elf trivia. We won that game, and I'm proud to say that. That can get some applause. That's fine. but if it came from pop culture, we had no idea. What struck me about playing that game with these friends, though, is how well so many of them did at some of these songs. I mean, they were pulling lyrics from songs I had never even heard of. It wasn't just that I couldn't have come up with the lyric. I had never even heard of these songs, and yet they were coming up with these lyrics. It was crazy. And one of my friends at one point said this. She and her husband had just gotten this really obscure song, and she goes, "Yeah, I heard the song one time, and the lyric just kind of stayed with me." Which, as a competitor, that infuriated me. But it actually made me think about this Sunday in this series that we have been doing. Music does have a way of doing that, doesn't it? It has a way. Songs and lyrics have a way of staying with us long after we've finished listening to them. And I think that dynamic is especially true, not just when we're listening, but when we are participating, when we are singing those songs and those lyrics as well. We might say it this way. Singing is both expressive, but also formative. All right, singing is expressive. It expresses our feelings and our beliefs, but it also is deeply formative. Singing can shape our beliefs, our convictions, and our attitudes in some powerful ways. It's amazing how powerful music can be, how memorable lyrics can be, how really formative singing can be. All of that is why we have done this particular series for the last number of weeks. Here through Advent, we have been focusing on some of the core themes of the biblical Christmas story through the lens of some popular Christmas carols. So in the first week of the series, we talked about anticipation, right? This sort of hopeful waiting where the longings of our heart can be fulfilled by the person of Jesus. Then we talked about the theme of incarnation, that Jesus comes in the flesh to be with us, to be for us, because Jesus is enough. Then we talked about the theme of invitation, this consistent theme throughout Scripture, right? That God consistently includes and calls us to include outsiders, those on the margins of society. And the good news that the invitation of salvation is available to every single one of us. Then we talked about the theme of redemption, the idea that the Christmas story does not end in the manger. It continues to the cross and to the empty tomb because Jesus ultimately is born, right, to set us free. Free from sin, free from shame, free from the powers of sin and death. So that really is what the Christmas season is about, and those are the themes that we find evident in so much of our Christmas music. And again, singing is an incredibly powerful way to be formed and to be shaped. Which is why I don't think it is a coincidence that in the biblical story, we find a whole lot of singing going on as well. Have you ever noticed in the Christmas story, especially in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 1 and 2, have you noticed how often folks in the story respond to what is happening through song, by singing? Let me show you just a few of those examples here. If you're here on Christmas Eve, you know we talked about one of those places, Mary's song. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she finds out that she is going to give birth to the Son of God, part of her response is to sing. Listen to what she says. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Why? Why will all generations call her blessed? Because she is so holy, righteous, and wonderful? No. "All generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one, God, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And then in this song, she goes on and she recounts some of the mighty things God has done. Listen. She says, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Maybe we could just summarize Mary's song like this. Mary's song is all about God's holiness, God's mercy, and God's justice. A few verses later, we find another song, another example of somebody singing in response to the Christmas story. It's Zechariah. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, who is a cousin of Jesus. And when Zechariah observes the ways that God is at work through this Christmas story, Zechariah responds by singing. Here's part of what Zechariah sings. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." There's that phrase, redeemed, from last Sunday's sermon, that concept of redemption. "He has remembered his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham." In other words, he's singing a song here saying, God has fulfilled the promise. He swore this oath to our ancestor, and now God has fulfilled the promise. What is the promise that God has fulfilled? To rescue us and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. My word, what a great verse. Just before this service, we had a Bible fellowship group hour, and we had somebody share about God's work in his life. And one of the things that he shared was one of his favorite verses, but he made the comment, this is David Mellinger, David made the comment, "Well, this is one of my favorite verses, but it depends on the day and what part of scripture I'm in." As of 30 seconds ago, this is my new favorite verse. It'll probably change later today, but just listen to this again, okay? So this is the promise. This is what God has fulfilled. This is what Jesus does at Christmas, to fulfill God's promise. And what is the promise? To rescue us and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. And he continues, "And you, my child, will give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of," and here's another great phrase, "because of the tender mercy of our God, which by the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." We summarize Zechariah's song like this. It is about God's salvation, God's rescue, and God's righteousness. Then in the next chapter, Luke chapter 2, we see the angel's song. This is shorter than the rest, but no less meaningful. These are some of the most familiar, well-known words in the Christmas story. Shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel visits the shepherds and announces to them the good news that Jesus is born. After the angel gives this announcement, the angel is joined by a heavenly host who sing. Listen to what it says. It says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" We see here a song about God's glory, God's peace, and God's favor, or God's blessing. And then finally, we have Simeon's song. Simeon was a righteous, spirit-filled man who, when Jesus was 8 days old, Simeon has the opportunity to prophesy over Jesus. As part of that, he sings. Listen to what we read. It says, "Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel.'" This is a song about God's praise, God's promise, God's light. So again, this is just kind of quick overview, but all throughout the Christmas story, we see singing, song after song after song, in response to the good news of Jesus. And just look at those themes there. This is what Christmas ultimately is about: God's holiness, mercy, and justice. God's salvation, rescue, and righteousness. God's glory, peace, and favor. God's praise, promise, and light. Friends, that's what the good news of Christmas is all about. And that's the kind of singing we want to do. Those are the kinds of songs that we want to be familiar with. I don't care if you don't know Mariah Carey's song. I want you to know this. I don't care if you know Cedric the Donkey. Is that the right name? What is it? Dominic the Donkey. I don't care if you don't know Dominic the Donkey. I want you to know this. I don't care if you know Josh Groban or Polar Express or whatever. This is the kind of thing that we should be immersing ourselves in, the kinds of things that we should be familiar with, the kinds of things that we should be able to recite, to root ourselves in, to know. We sing these truths because they are so deeply fundamental to the core of who we are and what our faith is about. This is what Christmas is ultimately about. And friends, that's why we sing these songs. We see this over and over again. Singing is one of the most appropriate ways to respond to the good news of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We thought an appropriate way to wrap up this little mini meditation and an appropriate way to wrap up this series, Sounds of the Season, would be to spend some time, a good chunk of time at the end here, singing together. So we are going to kind of open this up for a little bit of, this is going to be part open mic sharing and part church-wide hymn sing kind of thing to close out our service. We essentially want to hear from you. What are the songs, what are the hymns, what are the carols that have been especially meaningful to you this year or throughout your life? We're going to invite folks to come up, to come to one of the mics, and to share with us a song that's been meaningful, and then we'll spend time singing a few verses of that song right away. We do this for a couple reasons. First of all, because we just saw it's a biblical response to the coming of Jesus. We also recognize If you're part of the church here at Franconia, we typically every year do a Christmas song service where we basically spend a whole night, like an hour and a half, just singing Christmas songs. We were not able to do that this year, but we wanted to create some space to provide some sort of opportunity for us to do some extended singing together. And part of that song service typically involves people kind of making requests or suggestions. So this will function a little bit like that. But this also is not just like request hour. We also want you to share why a particular song is meaningful to you. And so you'll come forward, tell us the song, and then tell us why it's meaningful. Maybe there's a story associated with the song. Maybe there's just like one verse in particular that really resonates with you. Maybe it's just even one line or phrase that has always kind of captured you. Just share with us that. This doesn't need to be long or involved, but just share with us a little bit about why a particular song has been meaningful for you. So I'm going to have Mark come forward to wave his arms around a little bit. That's what it seems like to me, anyway.
We'll let you sing. I'll wave my arms. We'll let you sing, okay?
I can do that, too. It's for non-musical folks like me, that's what this seems like. I know there's more to it. So Mark and Monique will lead these songs. And so what we would ask is come forward to the microphone. So we need the first person to jump up and to share, and then we'll sing that song. And while that person, or while that song is being sung, let's have the next person come up and just take a seat on the bench so we're always kind of ready with the next person on deck. And Kathy has stepped forward.
And in the gray book, the carols are 120 to 164, 120 to 164 in the gray book. And in the blue book, 172 to 222. Just find the right spot there. Uh-oh.
I've always liked the song, A Little Town of Bethlehem. But about 15 years ago, Regina and I had the privilege of going with some Wangers to the Holy Lands. And there we heard a choir from a school in Bethlehem sing, and they talked about how Bethlehem is not what it is in this song. It is not a land of peace. It is not a land of quiet, and everything is just nice. And every time I sing that song now, I think of the unrest in the Middle East, and that, we can say the night that Christ was born, it was all solemn and peaceful, but that's not the way Israel's been most of its time.
Thanks, Kathy.
Do you have some stanzas or just... Okay, that's 191 in the blue hymnal. 191. stanza one.
Thank you. I love the line in that song, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Whatever hopes, whatever fears we have, we carry with us in the room this morning, they are met in the person of Jesus. That's worth singing about. Thanks for that, Kathy.
Well, I'm kind of like it was mentioned earlier. It depends on the day or the year, what my favorite Christmas carol is. And this year, I really don't have one, except that the theme of joy has come out to me in a number of ways this year. And it's mentioned in both of the Christmas stories. When the angel was talking to the shepherds, they said, "I bring you news that will cause great joy for all the people." And then the wise men were overjoyed to see the star. And so the song that mentioned joy the most times is "How Great Our Joy." How great our
joy. 157. 157 in the gray. Thank you. 157 in the gray hymnal. 157. Okay, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Thanks for that joy. I've shared this before, right? Joy. The word joy comes from the root word, same root word for grace, charis. And so really joy, the word joy literally translates grace acknowledged. Anytime we acknowledge God's grace in our lives, that's where we experience joy. And so this hasn't been the easiest year for many people, but when we acknowledge God's grace, even in the midst of this, we can experience joy. That's worth singing about. Thanks for that, Ruthann. We got two ready to roll. I love it.
So in thinking about this for a while, I was like, I'm not really one to have a favorite Christmas carol, I guess. And so I was like, I don't need to share because I don't really have a favorite Christmas carol, and that's what we should be sharing about. But in sitting in Sunday school and different stuff, sitting here looking at those words up there, and I was like, joy, I guess, is something this season that I'm a very joyful person, and I tend to, even if something bad is going on, I tend to be pretty joyful. And so that word up there just kind of like hit me like, oh. And then Ruthann shared about joy, so I'm like, okay, like, I should come up here. But if you don't know, Shane and I had a miscarriage back in August. That kind of put a damper on things for a little bit. But honestly, when you think about it, in the carol, The Joy to the World, it has, actually, if you go from like four, if you go from verse four like backwards and work up to one, it's kind of neat to look at it that way because it says, He rules the world with truth and grace. Then it goes, if you go to the next lineup, it says, No more let sins and sorrows grow. So you can't dwell on the sorrows because what is that going to do for you? And then it can just go on to say joy to the world twice. So like that's what it's instilling, like joy to the world, like no matter what's going on, like you just got to find those positive things. And honestly, in that whole experience for us, the timing of, like, I think we recognize God's hand more in a miscarriage than in a healthy pregnancy this time around, just because for us it was like, oh great, like we plan to have a baby and it's working out. And then 3 months into the pregnancy, things did not work out. But honestly, that like 1 week seems like a blur. But there are so many things, you can ask me about it if you want to, but there's so many things that just really lined up and like was actually like very perfect. Like I couldn't have planned a miscarriage any better. Honestly, that's how we feel about it. And just one example, like we were, I guess it was the week of that weird hurricane that we got with like several inches of, like, wasn't it like 7 or more inches of rain, I think? So I think on that Tuesday I was supposed to have an appointment. And I was like, oh no, I can't go because I actually had poison ivy. So that ended up being the hurricane day. And then they did like an online thing, which is fine. They're like, oh, but you still have to come in for a thing. I'm like, oh great, well, what's 2 days gonna do for me? So then on Thursday I had to go, and that ended up being like the, like when we realized something was wrong. And then Friday we were supposed to leave for vacation. So if I would have been on vacation, that would have been absolutely terrible. So like, and honestly, the whole thing like was very, very perfect. So when we sing Joy to the World, just think of it as, again, like if you look at it going like from He Rules the World and singing it backwards, it actually is kind of a really neat story. So, yeah.
Thank you, Morgan.
Let's do that. Let's start with stanza 4 and then stanza 3. And we'll finish with stanza 1. Okay? And let's stand for this, okay? We've been sitting for a little while. Oh, excuse me, 318 in the blue hymnal. 318.
12 Days of Christmas. But I found it, or I heard a couple years ago this spiritual version of it. I just fell in love with it. I just think the words are so beautiful. So I'm just going to read on the 12th day of Christmas and then all of the verses. I'm not going to ask you to sing it or anything like that. But on the 12th day of Christmas, Jesus gave to me eternity to praise, 1,000 tongues to sing, streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul, love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free.
Just put that slide back again, okay? The first one, just so we can see it there. And the next one. Thanks, Ruth.
Ruth, I don't know about a partridge in a pear tree, but that's a version I would sing. That's a version I would sing. Thanks for that.
So, Josh, this is one of those songs you wouldn't have known at your game. Sorry. It's called The Christmas Shoe, and I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's about a little boy who goes to the store on Christmas Eve to buy his mom a pair of shoes because she's dying and is going to meet Jesus on Christmas Eve. And there's a man, there's a man behind the little boy because he doesn't have enough money to buy the shoes. And the man is frustrated, it's Christmas Eve, and he has to wait and blah, blah, blah. And the little boy turns to the man and says, I'm going to buy these shoes for my mom who's going to meet Jesus tonight. If you've never heard the song, it's a beautiful song. You should look it up and listen to it. It makes me cry every time I read it, hear it. And it's just about the whole thought of this little boy who has hope, love, peace, and joy for his mom and wants to just make her happy for one last time. And as the little boy's buying the shoes, he doesn't have enough money, so the gentleman pays for the shoes. And he says, when he sings the verse, he says, I know that God sent me the little boy to remind me just what Christmas is all about. And it's just a beautiful song. Sorry, I can't sing for you, Josh, but you should look it up.
That's all good, yeah. No, and I think, did they make a movie out of that even? I think there's a movie that goes along with that. Yes. So we won't sing that one now, but encourage folks to maybe listen to it when they get home.
I don't know how many of you remember when I was small, I was growing up, and we used to have a stereo that looked like a coffee table. And my mother would go, and she would get her 33 LPs out, and we'd have Christmas music and everything going on. And one of the things that really struck out to me, because she would sing with the, and you know my mother had a very good voice, she would sing with the stereo and everything, All Holy Night. And that's on page 152 in your gray hymn, 152. It was such a wonderful thing to just experience, you know, when you're 8, 9, 10, and just to hear that was just marvelous.
Thanks, Pete. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, okay? O Holy Night in the Gray Hymnal, 152.
Thank you.
Remember I said there are certain verses in the Bible where it's like, that's my new favorite verse? Come on, listen to these words here. This is now my new favorite Christmas carol, as of 30 seconds ago. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Have you felt weary at all this past year? The thrill of hope is not in our external circumstances, but the gift of Jesus, whose law is love and gospel is peace. In his name, all oppression shall cease. That's a song worth singing. Thank you. We have another one in the back here. Yep.
And in the Gray Book, 121, come thou long expected King, or Jesus. It's been a long week, a long year, at least for me. And this song helps me to be thankful that there's an end. And I think it's coming very soon, at least for me. And people waited for years for Jesus, and here he is. Where is he in your heart today? Long expected King.
Thank you. 121 in the Gray Hymnal. 121. We'll sing both stanzas.
Trying to video and talk at the same time here. I think that song fits well into the one that I'm going to share. I know we sang it already this morning, but to us a child of hope is born. Starting out with to us a child of hope is born, really goes into come thou long expected Jesus. But I was thinking while Josh was preaching this morning, it kind of fits almost all of the songs. So, child of hope, Simeon was trusting God to deliver this child in his lifetime, and he did. And I like the rest of that part of the verse where it says, "The tribes of earth will obey." And it reminds me of the song that I had sung at my baptism, "Trust and Obey." You're trusting God, and then the action is to obey. And verse 2, I really like the traits of God that they're in there. The Prince of Peace, which is part of the angel's song, Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Great and Mighty Lord. Great verses. And then the last piece, the justice part, which is Mary's song. I just really like the lyrics of that song and the strong tenor line as well.
What's the song, Kevin, I was conferring here?
To Us, a Child of Hope Was Born, 189. We already sang it, but still a good one.
Okay, thank you.
Shall we? Did we sang that this morning, didn't we? Or To Us, a Child of Hope Is Born, or not? I missed my cue. What are we singing?
189?
189 in the blue hymnal.
And that's not Mark's fault. I interrupted him. Sorry about that.
We're going on the fly here this morning, folks. Let's sing. It's a great song. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, okay? Let's stand again.
Take blame for that last little snafu. I went home and didn't talk to Mark. We didn't hear exactly what Devin said. Are there any? Let's leave room for one more. If there is another person who would like to share something, is there anyone else who'd like to come share? Well, let me close us with prayer, and then Kyle will send us with a blessing this morning. So let's pray together. Lord God, you are holy. You are merciful, you are just. We thank you, God, for your salvation. We thank you for the rescue that you provide through Jesus, who is the righteous one. God, we give you glory. We're grateful for the peace that you provide, for your favor, for your blessing on us, your people, which we do not deserve, but that you pour out because you are good. We praise you, God. We're grateful that you fulfill your promise and that you are our source of light, even in darkness. We offer to you our songs of praise. And more than that, God, we seek to offer you lives of praise. Thanks for the chance to sing together of your goodness this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.